What I don't understand is why y'all enjoyed that so much.
You are such a good sport.
Yeah, and y'all are a bunch of liars too, you know. Yeah, sure. Y'all enjoyed that. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed Vacation Bible School. It was worth it all. Amen. What a great, great opportunity. Next Sunday, we're going to do something special here. We're going to do a commissioning service. I don't think we've ever done this for all new leaders. As you know, next Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. So we're going to commission all the new leaders for the new year. So I've asked Amy to come and pray for us, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord next Sunday. And by the way, between now and next Sunday, will you do me one favor? Call at least one person, at least one, and tell them you appreciate them, okay? That's important. Your Sunday school teacher, your deacon, some leader, someone in our church, you saw the people, and I want to say this, it is an honor to pastor a church where people are supportive of each other, working together for the cause of Christ. It's worth it all when you see people coming to Christ, amen? Take your Bibles and turn to Romans, Romans chapter 5. I'll tell you, it's probably my favorite book in the Bible. And I know I say that about all the books I preach from. But anyway, I love the book of Romans. Today we're going to start a new series on kingdom authority. What is it? We've been talking about your identity. You got to know who you are. Are y'all listening? You got to know who you are so you can know whose you are, okay? Who you are because you belong to Him. And you got to understand this, because I'm telling you, listen carefully. We're going to go deep today. I hope you're ready. Kids, amen. You're doing a good job with the sermon notebook. I went through them earlier today. But I'm going to tell you something. It's about like the boy and the girl's offering. The girls are more into this than the guys are. Not putting you guys down, but guys, you got to step it up. The girls are getting every one of these sermon titles down. They're getting the points down. They're writing down the songs. Guys, I want you to join with these girls. I want everyone to win an award for going through the sermon notes. Today would be a good day for adults to take notes. Always bring your Bible to church. You say, well, Pastor, why should we do that? How do you know what I'm preaching? Amen. If you don't bring your Bible, would you go to school without a book?
Nope.
No, probably not. Would you? I don't, this day and time, who knows? But don't come to church without the Word of God. You got to know where we're at. So if you've got your place, Romans chapter 5, we're going to start reading verse 17. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. And now, God, may we give you our undivided attention. I pray for your oil of anointing to be in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. A grandfather was quoting the Mother Goose nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men tried to put Humpty back together again. And the little grandson looked to his grandfather and he said, well, if the king's horses couldn't do it and put Humpty back together again, if the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again, why didn't they just call on the king? Well, that's what I'm preaching about. Kingdom authority is learning how to call on the king. And the way you call on the king in understanding kingdom authority is for you and I to surrender ourselves daily to him. So what is it? I'll tell you what it is real quick. Kingdom authority is about you surrendering to the rule and reign of God in your life. Many, if not most of you, have come to Christ as your Savior. You're saved. But you've yet to learn the power of surrender. I'm telling you, it's when we are humble, when we are surrendered, when we're submissive under the mighty hand of our King, will God bless and use us. And so I'm trying to help you and take you to another level in your walk with God. And may I say that a church that is not living in and exercising kingdom authority has ceased to be a force and has become a farce. A Christian that is not living in and exercising kingdom authority is living beneath his privileges and living beneath the dignity that God expects for him to have as he lives with kingdom authority in his life. And as such, he's the heartbreak of heaven. He makes angels weep. He is the mockery of demons. He is the stumbling block to the lost and a great disappointment to himself. That's how serious kingdom authority is. Many people are wondering, why is it that my Christian life is always in shambles? Why don't I have all those glorious victories and the joys that a Christian can have? God did not intend for you to live a life of defeat or desperation. When God saved you, he endowed you with something called kingdom authority. You are to have authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil. You are not meant to be the devil's playthings. You're not meant to be squeezed and molded into this world. God has redeemed you. He has saved you. He's equipped you, and he's ordained you to have kingdom authority. Now, Satan would not have you to understand the power of this today. So I want to give you real quick a breakdown to these scriptures. Verse 17, they're key words for you to understand. The word one is recorded 11 times in chapter 5. The word reigned 4 times. Much more recorded 5 times. And if you understand these three, you will understand kingdom authority. If you understand those three emphases, and that is what it is to reign, what does he mean by one, and what does he mean by your kingdom authority, what it is to be much more in Christ. So first, let's look at the word reigned. He is talking about authority here. He's talking about ruling. He's talking about reigning. What we need to understand that there are two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of darkness and death. The other is the kingdom of life and light. This is the reason he's using the word reign so much. He's talking about kingdom. Second, he's using the word one. He's saying there are two men. One heads up one kingdom, one heads up another kingdom. One man is Adam, the first man who ever lived. The other, Adam, is Jesus. One man is the head of one kingdom, and one man is the head of another kingdom. And this is the reason we're using the word one so many times. And then the word much more, which is what I'm going to really focus on today, because I'm telling you, you have much more in Jesus Christ than you ever lost in Adam. What he means here is that we are to walk in victory. We are to have authority over sin, over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil. When God created the first Adam, he gave him dominion over all things, right? We studied that this week in Vacation Bible School. He was to have dominion over all the earth, over all creation. Well, here we are in Christ, and we have much more than we ever lost in Adam. Now, I want us to see something before I get started today. From one man, Adam. The Bible says in verse 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who was that one man? Adam. Now, many were made sinners. That's all of us. Verse 19, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You're saved, you're made righteous. Now, we don't want to believe that. Somehow, listen to this. Are y'all listening this morning? Amen. Folks, it's important that you get this. We beat ourselves up all the time. Well, I can't be everything God wants me to be. I'm not perfect, preacher. In fact, oftentimes I hear people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Let me tell you who you really are. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You are a saint of God. Yeah, saint. That means you are set apart for his kingdom. You've been saved, sanctified, and filled with his Holy Spirit's power. Now, many times we don't win the battle because we never showed up for the war. Many today are living defeated lives. Rather than living a defeated life, we're to live a victorious life. And it's found right here in this wonderful principle of kingdom authority. We have learned by our own fallen nature how to somehow teach ourselves that we're just so unworthy. You're unworthy, but let me tell you something. Because of Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus Christ is worth it all. And somehow we belittle what he did on the cross, and we belittle his resurrection when we're not walking in the victory he has given us. Now, the devil is doing everything he can today, and he started that in the garden with a lie, and he did it real well with Adam and Eve. Yea, he said, hath God said. We lost much in Adam. We lost our identity. We lost our innocency. And we lost our image. If you think that we're in the image of God, look around. Do you think God looks that bad? You think God, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You're confusing me. Man was created in the image of God. Yes, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. But the Bible says that man fell. What you're seeing, you're not seeing. Looking at me, looking around. Where's Gordy? Stand up, Gordy. Now, when you look at Gordy, what do you see? That's a child of God? Amen. But look at him as a man. Look at Gordy for a minute, as a man. Is that a man? Y'all think he's a man? All right, Gordy, sit down. I'm going somewhere. We lost our image. If you think that we are in the image of God, just look around. This is the image of God. We're in the image of Adam. You say, well, now, Pastor Ronnie, where do you see that out? Well, Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. Now, think about it a minute. Suppose you've never seen a railroad train in your life. Now, follow with me. I got your attention now. You've never seen a railroad train in your life. Then let's suppose there's a train wreck, and there's twisted steel all crushed up, cars all intertangled with one another, smoke everywhere, and you've never seen a train. And I say, now, there's a train. Is that true? It's a train wreck. Okay, it's a train, but it's a mess. I'm trying to get you to see something because this is a beautiful thing. You might think, Preacher Ronnie, you're carrying me somewhere that I don't want to go. But take a look. Do you think that is a man? That's not a man. That's a wreck because we're in a fallen state. But this is a wonderful thing. You say, well, preacher, where do you see that this is a wonderful thing? It's absolutely wonderful because it says here, if we can be condemned by one man, Adam, then we can be saved by one man, Jesus. And Romans 5:17, thank God for the one. Amen? There's going to be an eclipse, they say, tomorrow. Did y'all hear about it? Yeah? It's all over the place. An eclipse. And wouldn't it be something, while everybody's looking at that eclipse, what, it's going to take, maybe cover the sun for 2 minutes? How long it is. I'm not really excited about that, but I'm excited about this, that while everybody's looking up, they could see King Jesus walk through the clouds. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? While everybody's up there and they're trying to see the eclipse, the moon covering the sun, and here the Son of God shows up. I think I'll have a spell. All right. Let me give you, I will have a spell today. The much more of our redemption. See, I wanted you to see that we've all fallen. We've all messed up. I've heard it all my life. Well, we're not perfect. But let me tell you who you are. The much more of our redemption. Number one, because of his blood. Justification is the declaring of a person to be just or righteous. The blood of Jesus applied to our lives. God has declared us righteous through the blood of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the perfect, righteous God judge. Before Adam ever sinned, Adam was simply innocent. But after we have been saved, we are much more than innocent. The Bible says we are justified. That is, we are put into a right relationship with a holy God as though we've never sinned at all. That's justification through the blood. Let me tell you something, friend. God is a holy, righteous judge. He has to judge sin. And Jesus took that judgment on the cross and paid for your sin debt. And that's what redemption is all about. And it was all about his blood. But because of that blood, you are bought. That's the next word in verse 9. We shall be saved. Didn't say you might hope, think. It says we shall be saved. He says in verse 17, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Let me tell you something. We have much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. Look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You've been bought with a price. Jesus paid the price of our redemption. We were on the auction block of slaves to sin, but Jesus paid the price. I love the song. I listen to the words. A lot of people get caught up in the styles of music. Get caught up in the words. I love the words of Big Daddy Weave. Seems like all I can see was the struggles haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long in this is going to last. Then you look at this prisoner and you say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. I love this. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. All my life I've been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and I'll wipe away every stain. Now, I'm not who I used to be, but I am redeemed. Friend, you are the redeemed of God. We need to start living like it. We're no longer under sin. We're no longer, you see, I don't believe if you're saved, you can live in sin. Amen. I don't believe you can live above sin, but I don't believe you can live in sin and be a true child of God. Why? Because you've been bought with this precious blood and you're the bride of Christ. I'm going to move quickly. He says from wrath through him in verse 9. A holy God cannot overlook sin. He must judge sin. In Adam, we have the wrath of God. In Jesus, we have the work of God. Hello. I mean, the wrath of God. But we have been made the bride of Christ. We are blood bought bride, that's who we are. Because of the precious blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, we see the work of God that has been done in our life. We see the work of, we see the wrath of God because of Adam's sin, but we see the work of God in Jesus Christ. We have much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. Second of all, the much more of our reconciliation. Sin's alienation. Look with me in verse 10, chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, you see, sin causes division. You see problems in the church, it's sin problems. Are y'all listening to me? When there's divisions in churches, there's sin in the camp. When Adam sinned, he ran off into the bushes. And God said, Adam, where are you? Do you think God asked that because God didn't know? Oh, no. God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. In his sin. Sin alienates us from God. The Bible says this in James 4:4. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We must learn kingdom authority so we can have authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we have the victory. It's a battle already won through Jesus Christ. Sin's alienation is serious. We need to learn to take sin serious. And then the substitutionary atonement. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Now, it is not God who needs to be reconciled. God didn't do anything wrong, right? We are the ones who must turn to God for reconciliation. Are y'all listening this morning? Please, let's not have any distractions this morning. Think about it. We are the ones who must turn to God for reconciliation. Christ died on the cross as a substitute for sinners, satisfying the wrath of a holy God. The cross is Jesus reaching out to humanity and reaching out to God at the same time. And hallelujah, you're talking about a substitutionary atonement. He brings the two together because of his finished work on Calvary's cross. I'm telling you something, he died for you, and he died so that you might know his life. And then salvation accepted. Much more, he says in verse 10, the last part, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are lost in Adam, but we are alive in Christ. Did y'all hear that? We are lost in Adam, but we have life in Christ. We have much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. In the garden, Adam walked with God. Jesus lives in us. Amen. We've got something better. I'm telling you, we are better off than Adam ever was. I'm going to go this deep. You want to go deep? We are better off than Adam was even before he sinned. I'm going to tell you how. Because what Jesus does, he washes you whiter than snow. He makes you right. I'll tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying you've got much more in Jesus than you could ever lose in Adam. Oh, we think about, and I've thought about this. Oh, I wish man had never sinned. Well, that's something that's, you know, already happened. It's done. And by the way, if it weren't Adam, it'd have been you, right? We all have messed up. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God can take a mess and make a message. And God's done that in you. If you would just come to accept this, the much more of our redemption, the much more of our reconciliation. I'm moving quickly for a reason. The much more of our regeneration. You see, there's an acknowledgement here. There's some controversy about verse 15. Look at verse 15. The controversy is people don't understand it, especially in the Old English. But maybe your Bible might help you understand it. I don't know. But it says in verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many." Let's break that down for a minute. Paul's given an acknowledgement here. Paul gives an acknowledgement that there is no comparison between the offense of Adam and the grace of Christ. In other words, the point is the victory of Christ is greater than the defeat of Adam. Jesus did much more. Adam's sin, yes, it was horrible. It was terrific. It was what brought death to mankind. But I'm here to tell you, Paul got it. He's acknowledging right here. The point is that the victory in Jesus is greater than the defeat in Adam. That's what he's talking about. We want to acknowledge that. And then the word acceptance. We're much more. The grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. My favorite verse in the Bible, I believe, is Ephesians 1:6, that says to of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's a foundational verse. Friend, I used to think, well, God saved me because he created me. He saved me because he loved me. No, he saved me to the glory of his own grace. That's why he saved me. To the glory of his grace is so great that he's bragging on it, and he can do it. Amen? To the glory of his grace. Oh, I'm not done yet. I know y'all thought I was, but I'm just getting started. I'm going to keep it going. I'm not done yet. Abounded. Oh, it's going to get good. Verse 15, last part, have abounded unto many. Adam had life, but we've got abundant life. The word abundant in the Greek means life to the very fullest, and it's towards you. Abounded unto many. That is, we are regenerated. We are regened. The genetic code of our spiritual life is now the genetic code of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word abound there means overflow. You know why I am the way I am? Are y'all looking up here? Because I'm always in an overflow. How about y'all? Are y'all in an overflow? I mean, I would talk to Thomas and Jessica, and I would coach them. I'd say, y'all been coming to the altar. You need to have come to Jesus time. And they'd go to Jesus. You go to Jesus, and what will he do? He will abound. He can not only give you one child, he can give you two at a time. Amen, Crystal? God can give you a double blessing. Amen? I came here, my heart was broken. Man, I was struggling the first few months I came here. Had a guy commit suicide. That was very hard. Had a baby funeral. Prayed with that couple. My heart was more broken than I was trying to be strong, but I was really hurting for them. And I prayed over that couple, and I said, Lord, would you give them a double blessing? And guess what they had? Twins. Look up here, folks. I am saying this. God hears and answers prayer. God is a victor. He will abound to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You want kingdom authority in your life? then call on the king. Don't go to the king's man. Don't go to the king's horses. Just call on the king. He will abound every good thing. And then number four, the much more of our righteous. Here's where I wanted to get. I'm right here. I want to camp out here just for a minute. I want you to camp out with me. I was in a hurry to get here. The much more of our righteous. Because I'm telling you, most Christians I talk to live underneath their privileges as a Christian. They don't see themselves as more than conquerors. They don't see themselves as victorious. They don't even see themselves as righteous, but I'm fixing to teach you. Verse 17 is where we started reading today. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Let's break it down. You want to write these down, I promise you, the much more of our righteousness. Number one is faith. Romans 4:5. Write down faith and write down Romans 4:5. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteous. You are not saved by works, joining a church, baptism, living good enough. It is totally faith in Jesus Christ. And when God sees you put your faith in Jesus, God writes by your name righteous. Wait a minute. Are y'all with me? Still with me? Say amen. Because it's about to get better. The second word is faultless. Faultless. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, 6. God imputeth righteous without works. Now the word impute is an accounting word, and it means to put to your account. When you put your faith in the crucified Son of God, imputed righteousness is put to your account. Wait a minute. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Can it get any better than faith and faultless? Well, I'm not done yet. Hold on. The third word is forgiveness. Are y'all with me this morning? I hope you're listening. Because if you miss this, you're going to still go around and saying, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Folks, you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not just God didn't just put on a spiritual Band-Aid. Do you understand? You have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old is passed away, and you are forgiven. Romans 4, 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities, sins are forgiven. Think of every vile, terrible, horrible thing you've ever done, and he forgives you. Wait, it gets better. Verse 7 again. And whose sins are covered. He forgives, he forgets, and he bears them in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Preacher Ronnie, can it get any better? Yes, it can. The fourth word, freedom. And I think I'll just be free here for a moment. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So if I'm bouncing, it's because I'm free, all right? I love, 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 love this verse, Romans 4, 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Listen, he has imputed imputed righteousness, but he will not impute sin. He will never put sin on your account, never. You say, wait a minute, what if I sin? He'll take you to the woodshed. Amen? He'll chasten you. He will correct you. But you are free. I'm going to say it again. Some of y'all didn't get it. I love this verse. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will never put sin on your account. Never. You say, how is that, Preacher Ronnie? Because Jesus took your sin. He died for your past sin, your present sin, your future sin. And Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. And he washed it white as snow. I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I am free in Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, what about living a good life? I wouldn't trust the best 15 minutes of my life to get me to heaven. But I will trust the one who said, blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. I wouldn't trust 5 seconds of the best I could ever live. But I will trust the one who said, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then last, and I'm right on time, the much more of our reign. Here I'm going to define kingdom authority. Verses 20 and 21 talk about reigning. He starts out by saying this in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. You see it? What are you talking about? How can we have victory? I mean, what are you saying? I want you to go back to understand that what we lost in Adam, we have much more in Jesus Christ. So, number one, the reign of guilt. The reign of guilt has been upon mankind from the time Adam fell in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. Since the fall, for the wages of sin is death. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What is he saying? The purpose of the law was to magnify the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We must understand that sin is to be taken very, very seriously and never lightly. I tell you, I felt the Holy Spirit one day in such a powerful way in my office. Gordy and I was sitting there, and we have these meetings. We have these come to Jesus meetings. And we were meeting about some deep things in the Word of God. And we were talking about sin. And Gordy was saying this. He said, Pastor Ronnie, we don't understand just how serious sin is. Sin has cost man everything. The wages of sin is death. But I thank God for those divine conjunctions. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So everything that we lost in Adam, we have much more we've gained in Jesus Christ, because now we're going to talk about the reign of grace. Aren't you glad that our God is the God of grace and not a God of judgment upon you? If he judged you, you'd be on your way to a devil's hell today. Amen? But because of his wonderful, marvelous grace, what is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's love and favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says in verse 20, but where sin abounded, I love this, grace did much more abound. In other words, grace is greater than all of our sins. We have come into a new kingdom. It is the kingdom of grace, and it's much more than the kingdom of Adam had ever known before he had sinned. Adam had an earthly dominion, and he lost it. He blew it. But Jesus bought it back. He redeemed us. And it now becomes a kingdom of grace. And we've gained much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. I can only sing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Folks, I'm telling you something. We need to understand that grace is greater than our guilt. Grace is greater than our sin. And we need to talk it. We need to walk it. We need to live it, that we are recipients of the grace of God. And as recipients of the grace of God, we ought to be graceful. Amen? Amen? We ought to be the first to show a brother and sister in Christ grace. Not judgment, but grace. What has God shown you? Grace, mercy, kindness. Last, and I'm done, and that is the reign of glory. So, preacher, you've yet defined kingdom authority. Well, I waited to the last. Verse 21. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory be to God for his powerful gift of kingdom authority. Notice what he says in verse 17, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He is the source of kingdom authority. The source of kingdom authority is Jesus. He is our source, he's our recourse, and he's how you enforce kingdom authority. Jesus is the key. Now let me break it down so we can give this invitation today. Number one, to know kingdom authority, you got to know the king. Okay? So number one, you got to be saved. You cannot operate with this kind of authority. And what is the word authority? The word authority means power. It means influence. How can we walk in kingdom authority? His kingdom is where he rules and reigns. By the way, kingdom is spelled K-I-N. That's not right, is it? D. Well, Jeff left out the D because he hates the devil. I'm telling you.
Good save.
Good save. I just came up with that. You know, that's quick on the draw. He hates the devil, so he threw the devil out. But the reign of glory is this, is that when you're saved, you've got Jesus Christ living in you. You have his righteousness. Some people come to church, and I'm not going to point fingers. Everybody's different. But when I come to church, I cannot help myself. I know I'm not dignified. I would never make it in the first Frozen Baptist Church. They just wouldn't call me to be their pastor. My daughter, Crystal, has got her doctorate today. She went to the First Baptist Church one Sunday. They were having a youth thing. And in my church where I pastored, we clap our hands. This is a big old church, and my daughter started clapping her hands. The pastor of the church, the senior pastor, came over and patted her on her knee and said, "We don't do that here, honey. We don't do that." You know. Now, you say, "Preacher, why are you made up the way you are?" Because I just feel the need to give him glory. Amen. I do. I can't help it. I got a case of can't help it. So I got the can't help it's disease. I've got to give him glory. You know why? I can't brag on my righteousness. I have none. But I sure can brag on his righteousness. I can. In fact, I can shout. Some people say, "Well, you shouldn't shout." Well, some people want to pout. I want to shout. You know, I want to go with the shouting crowd. Some people just want to go with the pouting crowd. Some people are never happy because you know what? They don't want to walk in the freedom of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to walk in his righteousness. They'd rather beat themselves up and say, "Well, I'm just an old sinner." No, you are forgiven. Are y'all with me? We can reign with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a bondservant. Everything that Jesus has, I have. Now, why don't we live like it? I'll tell you why. Because listen to me, and I'm wrapping it up. From the very beginning, the devil has wanted to take God's glory. Yeah. God was being glorified when he created Adam and Eve. In his own image, he created them. But Adam fell. He messed it all up. How's that song go, Rita? Sin messed it all up. But Jesus made it all right. That was the rap song this week in Vacation Bible School. Oh, yeah. Jesus made it right. Oh, yeah. Are y'all with me?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sister. Jesus made it all right. And we should shout. Thank you for that. When Alan made the statement, "Don't let the silence bother you," she said, "I won't." The reign of glory is the fact that our God reigns. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the bright and morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning of the end. I'm telling you what, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. I can't say enough to glorify my King, but I'm telling you something. I've got a King this morning. Woo, I feel that. I've got a King, and his name is King Jesus, and he's King over all things. He's the ruler over all things, and I have kingdom authority because I know the King. Now, I'm not done. You got to be saved to walk in kingdom authority. And some of you are not going to like this one. In fact, I'm going to lose half of you right now. You got to be surrendered. Amen. You got to throw, that's why I pulled out my hanky, Rita. You got to pull out the hanky. Are y'all ready to pull out the hanky and say, "I surrender all"? Oh, we sing it, but we don't do it. Because if we were surrendered, we'd already be operating with kingdom authority. Really, the key to operate in kingdom authority, you're saved, but you've learned. Because you see, when I am humble, he's made strong. When I am weak, he's made strong. I'm telling you, he's King. I'm not king, but he's King. And I can operate under kingdom authority because I know who's in control of all things. I don't care what happens in this world. Oh, you can get all upset about the Confederacy. You can get all upset about, Charlottesville. And all these things will keep you upset, tear your nerves up, divide our nation. Why can't we just go to the King and let the King fix the problems in our nation? We'd rather go and fight with each other and divide each other. Why can't we give him glory for the fact that he went to an old rugged cross? He paid our sin debt. He justified us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his own blood. I'm here to tell you, friend, we are the redeemed. Why don't we say so? And then last of all, but not least, not only do you need to be saved, you need to be surrendered. You need the Spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't claim to be no great preacher, but I'd rather have the much more of his presence than all that man could ever offer. We're going to bow our head right now. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. I really struggled with the invitation today because I didn't know exactly what the Lord wanted. I wanted to sing that song, "We Are Redeemed." But somebody, the Lord kept saying, you just need to bow down to the King. So I want us to bow down to the King today. I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you are still in your sin, bow down to King Jesus. He died for your sin, and he rose again. And you have much more in Christ than you ever lost in Adam. Much more. Will you come to King Jesus today and be saved? You say, well, I am saved, and I'm struggling, Pastor. Life is tough. I feel beaten up. I'm fighting a battle, and it's hard out there. Well, I like what the song says, I am redeemed. Why are you fighting a battle that's already been won? King Jesus has already won the battle. Why don't you come down and bow before him today? Come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I give you my problem today. I'm tired of fighting this fight that's already been won. I want to give it to you today. You're the King of my life. Now I bow down as your subject. I am your servant. I submit to your sovereignty. I'm going to say this one last thing, and I mean it with all my heart, church. I want to finish well in ministry. There's a prayer that you could pray for me. Pray that your pastor would be Spirit-filled. Because I don't want to be filled with nothing of this world. I don't want to be filled with my flesh. I fight it too. I don't want to be filled with myself. It gets me in a lot of trouble. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Would you, if nothing else, if you don't have nothing else to pray about today, would you come and just pray for me? And say, Lord Jesus, fill our pastor with you. Fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power. I really do want to live my life and operate under kingdom authority. What about you? I know I'm saved. I need to surrender daily everything to him. But I really need the Holy Spirit. Would you come today and pray, if not for yourself, pray for me. Fill that preacher with your Spirit. I want to hear a man of God who's heard from God. And I can't do it without his Holy Spirit's power. Father, in Jesus' name, I bow down because you're the King. And I'm your subject. I'm your servant. And I want to say this in front of all these people today and to you. Whatever you want with my life, I'm willing to do it. I'm not mine. I'm yours. I surrender all. Thank you that you did not leave me to live this Christian life on my own. You've given me the Holy Spirit. And now I pray in the name of Jesus today that you would just fill me, fill this church with your Spirit's power, that we can operate as a church in kingdom authority, that we will have a kingdom mentality as a church to do kingdom work. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. In Jesus' name, amen.